Okay, this is a presentation by Eric Lai. He is a gentleman sitting to my left, and I'm just going to read you a quick bio of Dr. Lai. Dr. Lai is a PhD, MPH, is Public Health Analyst in the Health Resources and Services Administration's Healthcare Systems Bureau. He serves on the leadership team of the Patient Safety and Clinical Pharmacy Services Collaborative, a national quality improvement initiative seeking to improve patient health, reduce medical errors, and disseminate patient-centered best practices. Prior to joining the federal government, he served as a health policy research associate at the University of California, San Francisco, where he also received his doctorate in medical sociology. I forgot to mention that this is sponsored by the medical care section of APHA. Dr. Lai.
All right, thank you. So I am here to talk about the Patient Safety and Clinical Pharmacy Services Collaborative. This is a program that works nationally to implement some of these safe medication practices in various communities among high-risk patients. And just to start off, I have no relationships to disclose here. So the intent of this program is really to, as the name suggests, improve patient health and safety in communities across the country. The collaborative facilitates partnerships between a variety of safety net organizations, and these organizations work together and partner together to implement these clinical pharmacy services and better manage high-risk patients and improve their health and their safety. The key deliverables of the program are building that community capacity to around these patient-centered integrated delivery systems, and also creating and generating breakthroughs in both population health status and also medication safety. So the methodology of this program is based upon the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's Breakthrough Series collaborative model. This has been ongoing for a number of years, and throughout that process, we've looked to foster an all-teach, all-learn sort of environment led by expert national faculty as well as national leaders. And by that, we mean everyone participating, all these communities, all these organizations. We're looking to have them join together and really teach each other best practices, and that's really for the benefit of everybody involved in the program. These leading best practices, they're identified in high-performing organizations, and then they're disseminated across communities nationwide with the goal of transforming local delivery systems. And again, there's that focus on the high-risk patient populations. So the teams that comprise the collaborative, so these are numbers from our third year, which is just concluding now. We're now entering our fourth year. So from the third year, there were 128 teams representing 43 states, and comprising more than 300 organizations. And you can see nearly 100 community health centers, also a significant, about half of the schools of pharmacy, a number of hospitals, and other HRSA grantees. There's the Bright and White grantees, primary care associations, rural health clinics, and so forth. So this is the distribution of these communities. Again, this is all from the third year. So you can see we have the 43 states. We also have a couple teams in Puerto Rico, and also a team in the District of Columbia. So in terms of the model that's used, again, this is adapted from the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, but essentially what happens throughout each of these years is a series of learning sessions, and those are the LS, that's the LS1, LS2, LS3, a series of learning sessions where we convene all of the organizations and teams nationally, in a room or virtually. And those learning sessions are really the punctuation of action periods, which take place between the learning sessions. And that's when these organizations take what they've learned and go back to their respective communities and implement whatever strategies and best practices they've picked up along the way. There's a number of pieces that help the learning process. There's a national listserv. There's monthly conference calls with all of the organizations. There's a website, healthcarecommunities.org, where teams share their results, and it's a forum for them to interact with each other online. We also have a leadership coordinating council, which consists of I think it's about a it's 100 or 200 different national partners that we've cultivated, really leading organizations across the country that are interested in clinical pharmacy and help support this work and help support the teams. So there's a number of things that we do to really support the communities through this process, and that's, again, based on that IHI model. Another key element of what we're doing is what we call the change package, and this is a suite of different best practices and change strategies that have been adapted from leading organizations. These have been field tested, these are proven strategies that have been shown to produce high level results, and these have been compiled into a document that is disseminated to all of our participants, and they use this throughout the year. This is sort of their strategy guide or manual for really navigating the collaborative and the work that happens. And there's really five key areas in the change package, and those are integrated care delivery, leadership commitment, measurable improvement, patient-centered care, and also safe medication use systems. And I'll talk in a moment about what each of those represents. But you can see that among our 128 teams in the past year, there were dozens of teams in action in each area. And indeed, there were a number of teams that were involved across multiple areas as well. So what are these different components? So this diagram sort of breaks down, shows you what each of these is about. So first of all, that leadership voice in the upper left, leadership commitment. This really revolves around the partnerships that teams are building in their communities. Also, it's about the business case, the revenue, the cost and business model that's involved with instituting clinical pharmacy services, and also really cultivating a culture of safety and quality. In the upper right is measurable improvement. And this is really about managing patient health and patient safety using data, really ensuring that these improvements are documented, that they're based on substantive quantitative and qualitative data throughout the process. And then on the bottom, this work is really about three aligned systems of care. Firstly, the patient-centered care system. Is the system patient-engaged? Does it involve patient self-management? Does it promote cultural appropriateness? These are all key pieces of patient-centered care in the change package. And then also in the middle, integrated care delivery. This is about the coordinated care team, about care transitions in the health home. And again, these are key pieces of integrated care that teams are working on. And then on the right side, the safe medication use, that's really about implementing clinical pharmacy services on site and implementing these CPS networks in these communities. So just to transition into some of this, this is one example of the work happening on that clinical pharmacy piece. You can see from baseline to the conclusion of 1 year's involvement in the collaborative, you can see that for each of these 10 examples of clinical pharmacy services, there have been jumps in the percentage of our teams that are offering these specific services. So everything from disease state management and medication therapy management to patient counseling, medication access services. These are all things that have really seen increases as a result of teams' involvement in PSPC. And again, we do operate in 12-month cycles, so this is just an example from this past year, but every year we see similar trends over those 12 months. So you can see this really is about that rapid cycle improvement. Now, of course, the work is really about the patients, and the patients being served do tend to come from this high-risk patient population. These are patients characterized by an average of 8 medications, 5 chronic conditions, and 3 providers. And about 30% of the total populations of care that these teams serve are in this high-risk group. It's about nearly a third of these patients who have these high-risk characteristics. So you can really get a sense for the impact of this work. And what we have the teams do is really focus on populations of focus. And these are panels of patients that the team selects and whose care is tracked and managed by the team in a given year. At baseline, at the start of each year, all patients in the POF, they're selected to be out of control on a variety of health status indicators, which I'll get into. And this population of focus is a subset of the population of service for CPS and also the total population of care. And what does that mean? this is how we sort of think about the high-risk patients that we're serving. The biggest circle is the total population of care served by these organizations. But really, we think about the population of service. This is the next circle in, all those high-risk patients that can benefit from clinical pharmacy services. That's the 30% of patients that that I talked about on the previous slide. And then within that, we asked the team to concentrate on a population focus sorted by a health marker. So for example, diabetes. A team might choose 100 diabetes patients from their population of clinical pharmacy service. And then in turn, that 100 patients might be chosen from a broader set, maybe 600 high-risk patients that have diabetes. So this is really how we think about when we jump from year to year. We encourage teams to really spread to more and more patients. And this is the way we sort of diagram this in our minds and in our presentations, is that we want teams to scale up and spread their work to more and more patients as they grow their clinical pharmacy capability and really establish a system that can serve these sorts of patients. We do want them to reach more and more and ultimately reach the entire community. But of course, before you reach the whole community, you have to start small. So one benefit of doing this approach with the population of focus is that by having these small panels of patients, teams are able to really key in on those challenges for that population and systematically address issues related to providing high-quality patient-centered care. Teams are also able to conduct small-scale testing. I talked about the change package. The team can draw from the change package using this set of 100 or so patients and really refine and adapt the practices to suit their organization and increase the sustainability of the system changes that these expanded care teams are implementing. So that when the team needs to start scaling up to more patients, to 20, to 200, 300, thousands of patients, they really have a strong foundation that they're building upon. Now, these are some of the health status measures that we have teams pick from. So each of the populations of focus is built around one or is built around one of these health markers. So teams may pick any of these that they like. They could work on diabetes, asthma, dyslipidemia, HIV/AIDS, and so forth. They may pick more than one as well. And these are the thresholds that we ask teams to work with as they're trying to take patients from out of control on health status to under control during the course of the year. And we also have measures for safety. So in terms of patient safety, we have two measures. First of all, the rate of adverse drug events, or ADEs, the events that result in harm or injury to the patient. Some examples including the patient having an allergic reaction due to the wrong drug or wrong dose being prescribed, or drug-drug interactions causing side effects. The second measure that teams track is the rate of potential adverse drug events, or PAEs, and these are medication errors identified and stopped with appropriate interventions before they harm the patient, these near misses. And examples include incorrect dose, drug-drug interaction, omission of therapy, and so forth. So during the course of each year in PSPC, in the collaborative, teams are working to improve the health of these patients based on those health markers, and they're also working to reduce the rate of adverse drug events and potential adverse drug events to zero. So really, it's following that improvement model I showed you earlier, using those as the basis for these improvement cycles so that they're learning and growing over time to serve the patients and really produce better outcomes. Again, it's all teach, all learn, so every month teams are sharing their strategies and their improvements with one another, and every year we at the Health Resources and Services Administration really work to refine the measurement strategy to emphasize sustainable evidence-based patient improvement in these communities. And ultimately, the vision, the long-term goal for the collaborative is to have 3,000 communities across the country having an integrated delivery system that ensures optimal health outcomes and patient safety. So I want to acknowledge my collaborators and co-authors, Linda Kwan, who's in the back, Karen Williams, also Zandra Glenn. And with that, I can take questions for a couple minutes, if there are any out there. Go ahead.
More potentials you've caught, the more vigilant the system is?
Well, that's a great question. The questions around the rate of potential adverse drug events, and we actually there's a slide that I have. It wasn't a part of this deck, but basically we realize that as teams get better and better at detecting these events, then the rate may increase initially. But the idea is that during the course of the year, once they have ramped up and they're catching all of them, that after that they start reducing them. So it's not a linear curve. It is actually, we do see in a number of instances teams initially seeing a higher rate and then over time bringing those down. So thanks for that. Any other questions?
Oh, one right here. Your definition of high risk looked interesting. I wondered what's the basis for that. I'd love to find out. Similar definition, eight drugs per person and five conditions.
Yeah, well, so one thing that we do is we, in addition to the quantitative data, we also track qualitative data. So we ask the teams a number of questions throughout the year. And one question in the past couple years has been around the characteristics of the patients they're serving. And that's actually where those numbers come from. The teams have identified their high-risk patients, and it turns out that those just happen to have an average of eight medications and five chronic conditions. But we found actually in other literature that there's similar rates as well among other organizations that are working in high-risk populations as well.
Yeah, very nice. My question is, has this been transferred to, does this include the hospital setting also, or strictly outpatient?
So the collaborative historically has been more outpatient just because of the involvement of these the community health centers, but actually entering the fourth year, we've entered a partnership with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services that will concentrate more on the inpatient and hospital settings. They're actually getting all the quality improvement organizations in all 50 states to enroll teams and really focus on Medicare, Medicare Advantage, and dual eligible patients as well. So that'll bring in a significant hospital component to this work.
And also, with respect to the different disease categories or issues being addressed, do you have more detailed data for each of those that obviously time does not permit?
Yes, we do. We actually have a couple of poster sessions tomorrow as well. That'll be an opportunity to look at that. But we do track all that qualitative quantitative data by team around the country. So, thanks. All right, thank you very much.